PHP podcast. This time, as usual, I have here Hernani. Oh, wait, it's not Hernani. Who are you? A guy with the long hair.
Yeah, hello, I'm Cesar, Cesar Rodas.
I know, I'm just making fun of you. Hello, Cesar, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Yeah, well, great to have you here on the show. This time you are taking the place of Hernani Joppert. Unfortunately, he could not make it, a power outage, and could not record this time. But I'm sure he'll get back next show. And this show we're going to talk about, as usual, several interesting topics things that have been happening on in the PHP world lately. First, I would like to start. I think it would be better to start from the latest PHP releases. Let me screen share things here. Okay. There was the release of PHP 5.4.13. I'm trying to screen share the right window. Okay, I think you can read it more or less well.
Yes, I can read it.
Yeah, it's there. There was also PHP 5.3.23, which basically comes on par on in terms of bug fixes. And mostly there are just minor bugs. I think there are a few security issues, nothing that would affect a lot of people, I think. But, everybody that is using these PHP versions should always take a look and see if there are no bugs that were fixed on this version. And so you can see if this if it would be worth upgrading. Cesar, which version of PHP you use regularly?
Okay, let me check. In my computer, I use...
You are not aware?
No, I use the PHP 5.3.15. That is my what came with my distro. I use OpenSUSE.
Okay,
but
you developed.
So also I've got like three or four PHP tarballs that I have put compiled, and I use it to run a couple of unit tests for two or three projects that I have. So, but I am not using it for development. I'm just to test it.
Right. What about PHP 5.4 or even PHP 5.5? Just for testing purposes?
Let me tell you exactly what versions I have installed here. Okay, so I have the 5.3.23. I have the 5.4.4 and the 5.5.0.1. Those three versions.
Yeah,
I've got to test things.
So, but in production, you are not using those earlier, more recent versions.
No. In production, in one of my servers, I use the PHP 5.3.15, I believe. I have one Ubuntu server. And in the other VPS that I have a very old PHP, like 5.3.3, probably. It's something old.
Well, another interesting... released like now that we are talking about PHP, I mean the more recent version, also the release of PHP 5.5, the first beta versions. First it was announced a feature freeze here in the internals list, which means that PHP 5.5 it's now closed for new features, and if anybody wants to propose any new features, we'll have to wait for 5.6 or maybe later. Cesar, what do you think about the new features of PHP 5.5? Is anything that you find compelling to something that would be worth the upgrade, or maybe not for now?
I haven't played with it. However, I noticed that the unit tests that they run a little bit faster in the 5.5.0 alpha, which is the version that I have here. Usually, because I'm in a project which has a lot of CPU power, like it computes a lot of things. For instance, in my main version, which is 3.23, it takes like 24 seconds, and in the 5.5 it takes like 20 seconds. And that is a huge optimization of 5 seconds.
Yeah. And what do you think it's the reason for the improvement?
It's hard to say, but I would say that they optimize a few things in the virtual machine, I guess, because the code doesn't do anything. All of that do some mathematics with a couple of matrix, so it's nothing fancy. So and I don't.
Are those regular scripts, or you mean web script? I mean websites.
So it's an open source library that I wrote that I will send to the PHP Glasses site soon, but it is available on my GitHub account, which basically it's for text categorization. I'm just and that uses a lot of mathematics. So I don't do any I/O. Basically, it's just pure mathematics. So that was, I was impressed by the performance.
Yeah.
And it gets better at every version. Like in the 5.4, it gets a little bit better, faster.
Improvement was probably in 5.4 when they changed did that optimization of the properties. If you declare all the variables in the class that you use, the variables are in a fixed array instead of an hash table, and that makes the access to variables much faster. We talk about a bit about that, but talking about the PHP 5.5, which is the newest release that is being launched. There were like a couple of beta versions being released. Personally, I did not try them, I did not try them because I do not find anything compelling in these newer versions. The greatest new thing would probably be the use of Design Optimizer Plus. I'm not sure yet if they are going to ship it with caching enabled, which is something that was in doubt. Well, anyway, there were already two beta versions. I'm not sure what would be the planned release time. I think it depends on how many bugs it still has. Once it gets a minimal amount of bugs, they probably will make a final release. I don't know, it probably will be a month or two more, but they have been releasing like a new beta version every 2 weeks, more or less. There was one, actually, that was the original plan, but there is a between the 5.5 beta 1 and beta 2, there was only a difference of 1 week. We'll have to wait a bit more and see when this new version will be released. Okay, let me just deal with screen sharing. Next on this podcast, one thing that I plan to talk about is about a post by Rasmus Lerdorf, the original creator of PHP. He talks about continuous integration of atomic deploys. Let me screen share the article here. It's better to show than tell. Well, basically, he's talking about when you deploy in the production, with minimal downtime, which would be an ideal situation. But if you have, you are running a caching extension like APC and now Zend Optimizer Plus, there may be a problem, because if files are updated and the PHP still sees the cached version, the update will not be seen. I mean, the old scripts will still be executing instead of the new ones. And Erasmus talks about a few problems of doing that with a minimal downtime. I think it. Well, I don't know. I don't know what he's thinking about regarding the upgrade. I think he's trying to just switch to a newer version and not having to restart the web server, because when you restart the web server, if I'm not mistaken, the shared memory used by APC is reset, right? Cesar, what do you think?
I think that's a clever idea. How I've done that in the past, it's very simple. Like, we deploy everything into another folder, and the current server directory is just a symbolic link. So we change that symbolic link to just have the lowest downtime possible. And that seems to be working fine, but all my experience are with small sites, say less than 2 or 3 million hits per day. So there's not too much if you really want to test it live. And that is the busiest site that I work with, and we never have had any issues.
Yeah, I think this is a very this problem that Erasmus is talking about is more on those very, very busy sites that they could not accept any downtime of any of the servers, or else they probably will lose accesses. Well, for me, I would play it safe and restart the web server to be faster, because it would cause the caches to be flushed implicitly, I think. I'm not, well, that is one doubt that I have. I think APC would flush the caches because the accession would have to be terminated. Well, this is just one topic that is probably a bit advanced to discuss even in this podcast, on which we try to cover even the more complicated topics, but I think it was worth talking about. But there is not really much more to say about it.
Yeah.
And so let's move on to the next topic. I want to bring another topic that it's a bit, I would say, probably polemic, because it is related with the way PHP features are proposed and voted. I think there was a great evolution when they started with the RFC process, because the features are being proposed and accepted or not. And there was a guy named Sebastian Duran that posted an article, actually a proposal in the PHP internals list that I'm trying to share the screen here, on which he proposed that the voting form as an extra field for the person that votes to justify his vote being yes or no. Cesar, what do you think of this? Do you think this is necessary? Would it make the process of voting better somehow, or maybe not?
Well, I don't have much experience with how it works. As far as I saw, like, someone proposed something and people vote, and all the fan happens in the mailing list. I often read them. Like, if someone votes for no, they say why, or they say why they don't like one particular idea, but they say it into the mailing list. So if you later, if you are going into their wiki site, and if you want to say why somebody vote for no, you have no idea why that happened. However, right. I saw a couple of interesting things, like the new RI format, the traits and other features that they all happen through the wiki, that someone proposed something and people just talk about it, they debate, they say why yes or why no, and it finally happens. So I think the process could be a little bit easier for mere mortals, but I don't know. What do you believe? Have you any experience with it?
Well, I usually do not participate in votings or proposals, but from what I have seen, I think the idea proposed in this art this article of Sebastian Duran, I think it makes a lot of sense, not so much because of those that participated on the debates about the new features, but precisely because of those that could not participate, and sometimes they want to get back and propose a similar feature or even the same feature, probably revised somehow. And if the feature was rejected, they don't know exactly why it was rejected by all, because not all people that vote know, they justify their vote in the PHP internals, where most discussions on new features take place. And I think this could be a very good idea to make the process more transparent, because truth must be said. Some people certainly vote against certain features, not because of the features, but because of the proponent. For instance, if somebody does not like the proponent, they probably will vote no just because they don't love each other. Well, it happens in the real world. And anyway, this should be taken more seriously. Should not be space for people to vote on personal matters, but rather on technical questions, technical issues. Why a certain feature was rejected? That must be a technical justification for at least the votes that were no, because the votes that were yes, the person that voted for the proposal basically already agrees, probably does not have much to add, and agrees with the proposal. But for the person that says no, he probably has very good objections, and maybe the person that submitted the proposal could come back with a better proposal that addresses those issues. And in this case, if none of the people that vote no are required to justify their votes, how can the person improve the proposal when probably is not aware of all the objections that the people that voted no may have? Well, at least that is my take on this. So I think this proposal of Sebastian to improve the voting process would be helpful for PHP, because if you can have better feedback on rejected features, it means that there will be greater opportunities to improve the proposals.
Exactly. Well, so you can learn as if you have one idea, and if you want to add that idea to PHP, why it was rejected and what you need to change, or if you need to just give up and move to other things.
Yes. And also for people that come back later were not aware that the features were already proposed, they could go back and use the justifications that would appear on the voting page to learn about issues that they probably were not aware and justify the rejection.
I guess that if should support some sort of comments like I vote you know, and that's why, like something simple. It doesn't have to be blessing, salute. So I think that what you're saying is just great. Like if you can give a feedback, and why not? Even if you vote yes, you need to tell why. I mean that would be fair for both parties, whether you like it or or not.
Yeah.
I don't know how is the voting process like. Who can vote? But I can vote, so I'm not sure. And I can vote because I submitted a Pickle package, so I have the PHP account. But I don't know if anyone can vote or who can vote. I have no idea about that part.
Yes, well, I think it is described, but I think in your case, if you submit a Pickle package, you have a certain garment. I think you can vote, but you need to verify. That's an interesting question. And I think
okay,
it was Christopher Jones from Oracle that wrote an article regarding the whole process of proposing the features and the voting and stuff. Maybe it would be interesting for you to review, although he's not exactly a core developer, but he's an important contributor because he's responsible now also not only for Oracle but also for MySQL extension.
Okay, so it's important, like PHP and MySQL, they always walk hand by hand. So
well, he's still an Oracle employee, and
yeah.
Oracle is not exactly the most popular company in the world. but that does not say anything about the person himself. That would be a different discussion. Well, now moving on with the podcast, I would like to bring up an article that actually I wrote in the PHP Classes site. Let me try to screen share it here. Okay. Let me go back. Because I found the right page, just wanted to put it in the right this sharing button is all a challenge to use. Well, this is an article that I wrote. Actually, I have been planning to write this article for a quite long time. Sorry, I've been swimming today, and it's making me cough a bit. And well, the article talks about a set of classes that do something special. They were published in the PHP Classes site. I even presented an interesting picture here of a man holding some weights, and in the case of the weights were replaced by PHP logos. And this article basically it was meant to be a sort of tribute for talented PHP developers that developed some classes that are above the average, and they submitted them to the PHP Classes site to get great exposure. And many of them were even nominated to the Innovation Award, and they even got prizes, interesting prizes, got great recognition for that. But the reason why these classes were nominated is mainly because they do something different, which is basically to add features to PHP without having to upgrade your PHP version. So they overcome limitations of PHP and add the features that probably would make more sense to be implemented in the PHP core, but since they were not available, it requires some additional development. They developed classes that implement those features, and this is awesome. And divided this into 26 categories for all sorts of purposes, since aspect-oriented programming, annotations, prototypes, things that probably only exist on other languages, but they are trying to emulate them in PHP. Things somehow that were surprising to me many of them were published many years ago, and I remember them because they did somewhat unexpected things to take PHP further to a level that probably nobody expected to be taken in using just pure PHP code. And this is sort of a tribute to those developers that have developed those classes. The article explains what those classes do, also mentioned the name and the country of the authors of those classes, because credit should be given, and PHP classes is mainly about that, to somehow give authors a space to have to expose their classes to do something that goes far than what is expected, should even get more even more exposure. Cesar, did you look into these classes mentioned this article? What did you think about them? Well, you are mute. Are you mute?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I said that I implemented some similar classes because I wasn't aware of because this article it didn't exist when I needed. So I wrote a annotation parser. So and something like the project which is described in the class generics. And so I think those two classes are worth to mention. Like they must be like everybody should know about them. I use the annotations with my own library, but anyone can use these libraries. And I particular because I am a little bit obsessed with performance all the time, so I treat annotations in a special way. Like I cache them, and that's what everybody does. But I use them to like some sort of inputs, and I generate code, like equivalent code that does what I'm describing. problem. The thing with annotations and all these libraries, it's that they run into the user space and they use the CPU time to do something that was supposed to do by the engine itself. I don't fully understand why people love annotations. I love them because it let me configure things, and then I can generate code out of that and do something efficiently. Those two classes are worth to mention, and the class generics, if it does what I think it does, it let you define some sort of template, and then you can use that to generate code later. So that's fantastic. Like you don't have to do complex things to generate code. You treat your template as an Smarty template or Twig template or any template, and you generate code. That's fantastic. That's why I do it. That's how I generate code.
There is even a category in the PHP classes site for code generation classes, and in this case of using GenX, somehow what Java implements and in C++ they would be called templates. There may be differences in implementation, but basically the concept of generating code from a template is there. It has its uses. Well, if you do not use it somehow, you probably use some other solution. Code generation solutions are very, very common, and they address several problems. And as you mentioned, it probably provide greater efficiency.
Yeah.
And other than that, one thing that I wanted to comment is that many of these classes were already mentioned in previous episodes of this podcast that we record every month. And the idea is precisely to give additional recognition to authors that go farther than what you could imagine, and demonstrate that you can do more with the language without being so dependent on the current version that you use. You can sometimes overcome limitations of the current version. And another thing that I wanted to mention, besides the fact that most of these classes are already nominated to the Innovation Award that we talk about every show here, and we'll be talking about the ones this month, is that I have a wish that one day I could also write an article like this, but for JavaScript classes in the JS classes site. So this is also a sort of an invitation to all those that have developed interesting classes that probably exceed the capabilities the language, in this case of JavaScript, they go ahead and submit them to the JS classes site, on which we also have the a separate innovation award dedicated to JavaScript classes. And personally, I'm very happy with this.
If I may say something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if I may say something, I would say that actually in JavaScript it is much easier to just play with the language itself because it's a much more dynamic language. Like, you can create an object out of nothing, you don't need a class, you can put methods, you can do whatever you want. So there is a lot of room for innovation in JavaScript. I would even say that even more than in PHP.
Yes,
of course,
I think that's
my and I have to say that my primary language is PHP. Like, I speak PHP fluently. I am just a JavaScript one of the developers. So, and that's what I see.
Yeah, that's true. That JavaScript is much more powerful, I think, in terms of how far you can twist the language to do things like this. So I expect to have more things, more classes like this appearing in the JS classes site. So the message is given here to anybody that is listening to this show to go to JS classes site and submit some interesting JavaScript classes that you have there. Like yourself, I'm also mainly a PHP programmer, but I've developed a few JavaScript classes to do for generic purposes, but so far nothing that goes to exceed the capabilities of the language. But there are already a few interesting classes there, and this ties precisely with the next topic, which is to talk about the latest winners of the Innovation Award that happened in the JS classes site. Let me just screen share here what are the latest winners. Basically, first we are going to talk about the winners that were that published their classes in January. They were voted in February. Then in March there was the results of the votes. So far we don't have as many classes as in PHP classes site, but there are quite a few interesting nominated classes to talk about. Cesar, which one of these five classes would you like to talk about?
Okay, I've choose to talk about the GeoNames that was written by Tom Schaffer. I hope that I'm pronouncing that close to how it should be pronounced. And he's from Germany. So what it basically does,
if you can share it would be interesting.
Okay, let me see how to do that. It might take a minute. Okay.
It's always a challenge. Screen share.
Yeah.
Eating the right window to share.
Yeah. Can you see something?
Yes, but if you can improve the font, increase the font.
Any better now?
Yes, it's a bit better, but it's a bit blurry. Well, never mind. Try just to continue.
Okay, I will open the example page. It's loading. Basically, it let you define, like, you want to query a city. You put the coordinates, and then you get to information about what city it is. And that's a very interesting project. It relies into an API which is open, so that's an interesting wrapper to it. So I was needing these kind of things a couple, not long time ago. It's from here. It's from geoname.org. The good thing about this class is that it provides me all that info and I can put it right into the front end. So I don't need to bother my server to do a backend query. So it just works. So that's fantastic.
That's true. That's a good point. There are, like in PHP, there are classes for accessing web services, but like you said, this one can access it directly without using an intermediate server to send the request, and you just send an AJAX request, and it does.
Yeah, blessing. What it does is that it relies on the JSON padding. Like it creates some sort of JavaScript and it will include it. From what I saw, just a little bit, not that much.
Yes, that's true. Well, on my part, I also like to mention. Let me screen share it here correctly. Try to increase the font, but first I need to hit the right button to share the screen. Well, this is a class from which is basically a jQuery plugin by Jonathan Gotti from France. He has been a regular contributor of the site, and he already sent several packages. This one, what it does is basically to provide a sort of unified interface to handle touch events. So if you are using a device with a touch screen, it will handle those touch events. But if your device does not have a touch screen, you can emulate the same events and gestures and so on using mouse clicks. So this is an interesting solution by Jonathan Gotti. There are other classes nominated that month, but unfortunately you do not have much time to talk about all of them. If you are interested to learn more about these classes, we talk about them in the lately in JavaScript podcast. We talk all about all of them, and you can listen also to that podcast to learn about what we said about them. Now we are going to move on to our next section, which we comment on the Innovation Award winners of also January, but in this case it will be of PHP. Cesar, which nominated classes would like to mention?
Okay, so I've selected two of them. They have something in common, I believe. This is the first one, which is the ValueSeq, which basically it implements some algorithm to perform the optimal search values within binary search. So you have, I guess, it will be a some structure, I would guess, that it a sorted array of something, and it will implement the binary search, which basically just a star off in the middle and just evaluate if it should jump forward or backwards, and just keep doing that.
Yes, that's actually a very interesting solution.
So, and the reason why I choose this because these sort of algorithms, they are not very common in the PHP world. Like I haven't seen them many, and the reason is because it has the primary as like they are categorized like academic things, and I think they are quite useful, and that's why I choose this. Being implemented in PHP, that means that PHP is not only for web development, and that's really cool.
Yeah. Well, other than that, Any other class you would like to mention?
Yeah, I've choose this one, which is called BitVec, which basically says that it manipulates a rise of bits with the SPL fix array class, which is part of the standard PHP library, which is a class or an object which looks like an regular a hash in PHP, but it has a fixed size. So what is the advantage is that it will behave faster because it doesn't have to grow dynamically, and so it is nice. So it was written by CPK Smithis, I believe. He's from the United Kingdom. So he uses these objects to manipulate bits. So there is a common operation when you are doing some C low level and you want to play with bits which are within a number, so you can do shifting and all those operations, which can be done in PHP, by the way. But I believe last time I checked, that was long time ago.
Yeah.
It wasn't that efficient. So it was possible, but wasn't that efficient. But that was a long time ago. So yeah. I believe that this class should perform at some acceptable speed.
Yeah. Oh,
by the way, before I forgot, the first class that I selected, it was written by Chris Jeffries. I believe I'm pronouncing that right. And he's from the United Kingdom.
Oh, it's...
Yeah,
certain preference for... developments from the United Kingdom developers.
Yes, the thing is that I have to say that I'm a huge fan of Doctor Who, and that's why. So you can see here on my T-shirt. So that's probably why.
I thought you were going to say you were a fan of Monty Python.
That is true also, but I can't say that. I can't say that in public because I dislike Python a little bit, a little.
Well, I think it won't hurt if you like Python and PHP at the same time.
So when I was younger, I used Python to do a couple of DTK applications because that's also possible in PHP. That's true, but I always want to use the proper tool to solve a problem. So by that time was Python. It was really simple, but if I want to write a website, I will definitely go for PHP. I will not go for Django or something else.
Well, don't worry. It's not a sin you not go to L if you have to develop in Python.
I think.
Well, but I'm not the Pope of PHP, so I'm not the one to decide if you are going to hell or not. Maybe somebody from the PHP core will declare that if you like Python, you should go to hell. Well, back to the actual podcast. Now my turn to comment. I also like to comment a couple of classes. Let me screen share here. First, I would like to comment on the one that was actually the winner of January, right? And it was from Majid Ramzani from Iran. I'm sure I'm not pronouncing the name properly. Majid, please excuse me for the mispronunciation. And anyway, what matters is that he did a class that makes it generic, the problem that is called the soft deletion of records. That means that you can have records in a database table that you mark them as deleted, but you don't delete them because for some reason you may want to keep the records forever, like to recover an eventual loss of information or to go back and figure something that may not be duplicated. If you would mark the records as deleted, we would not be able to check I mean, if you delete the records effectively, you would not be able to do those checks. So one solution, and I admit I use a similar solution like this a lot, which is to create soft deleted records, which are basically records that have a special field in the table that the tells whether the record was deleted or not. And Majid implemented this class, and he also implemented the wrappers around the basic insert, update, delete, and select functions, considering those that flag that marks the records as soft deleted.
Can I ask you something about a similar problem, but when you are done, say, it
no,
can
no,
wait.
you can't.
Okay, so, in the past, I have to solve the same problem, and I was evaluating, and I realized, and I decided I could be wrong, that's why I'm asking that, rather than having a different column and just adding a soft delete there, that will require me to have a special index at query time. So wouldn't that be any better to move that record to a similar table? Like, wouldn't that be easier and faster?
And well, eventually it would, and probably would be better. Actually, it would be probably the best solution is when you have tables that will eventually get many, many records. And in that case, probably that solution of moving to a separate table would be more efficient. But in the end, you probably, if you need to look up, for instance, records that they were marked as deleted by the application, but they, in reality they were not deleted, you need to do two queries to check the deleted records table and the other one. That's the only disadvantage that I see.
Yeah, but that is another idea for a cool package. If someone can figure it out how to fix that, I would definitely use that. So,
well, in this case, the solution was to let's say have this record mark, have this field that marks the records as deleted, and then have wrappers that include additional clauses to the. To the queries to mark them to consider records that were soft deleted. So, for instance, if you want to obtain the records that were not deleted, it would have to exclude those that were soft deleted.
And, got it.
Obviously, there may be some challenges. Like, for instance, if you want to, if you have like unique indexes. And you cannot allow that a new record has the same fields of the for the unique index keys with the same values, or else you have that problem. But in general, use this to prevent that somebody adds a new record with some fields that have the same value. So in the end, they are not that is not a problem. Anyway, the other class that I wanted to mention, let me screen share here, and I left it for last for a specific reason, which is the fact that this class was actually mentioned in that article that I talked about before, about the classes that do better than do things that PHP does not do, or at least this class does something that used to not be available in, at least in older PHP versions. But let me explain what this does. Let's say that you are in a function and you need to do some cleanup. You can put all the code that does the cleanup at the end. Like, for instance, if you open a database connection, you want to close the database connection when the function exits. So what this class does is to use these destructors of the structure functions have to run some cleanup code. For instance, if you want that case, if you want to want to close a connection that was opened with the function, you can register a sort of a callback function that this class will call when the destructor is called. And what is neat about this class by Ralph Mike Pretzel for Germany is that it will work regardless if you exited or by a regular way, like a return statement, or you reach the end of the function, or if there was some exception and the code was it transported the control to some exception handler. And this works because when you create a variable and assign it to an object inside a function, if that object is not returned somehow to outside the function, the last reference to that object, when that last reference is, eliminated, it will call the destructor of that function. This is a bit abstract. I'm not sure if I'm explaining this in a way that is clear, but I think this is clever, and it somehow emulates what the finally statement of the exceptions that I think it was introduced in PHP 5.4, or was it 5.5? I think it's 5.5 now, that somehow emulates the same behavior, because the finally statement makes the code that you put in the finally section of a try catch for an exception to always run regardless if there was an exception thrown or not. So it has some similarities, and it was very nicely implemented and very simple class by Ralph. Kudos to him for this brilliant idea, even if you can consider that it's somehow similar to what PHP 5.5 provides in with the finally statement. Cesar, do you think my explanation was clear, or maybe not so much?
Yes, your explanation was really clear. When you showed me that class, I couldn't believe like how it was implemented in 20 lines of code. The code is deadly simple. So the code has value, but what really has value is that idea. So how he just put up to go gather all those pieces. The thing is that the way how PHP works is that each variable has a counter. So when that counter reaches zero, means that that object can be deleted. So when that happened, regardless if something fatal happened or anything, your destructor is always called. So you always have that callback. So you have the same behavior as that we have in PHP 5.5. So that's something amazing.
Yeah.
I have to say that class is just amazing. So kudos.
Yeah. And this is for... This is from Ralph Mike Pretzlow that already contributed other good classes. Another one also emulates function overloading in PHP, which is something that is also not quite trivial to implement in PHP, and it was somewhat inspired or knew what is done in other languages. And well, kudos to Ralph for his ideas. I hope he can continue to contribute awesome classes, because these classes really demonstrate several things that that are important. One is that PHP as a language is not that limited as some people try to claim.
No, like if you start looking around, PHP could be even more dynamic than most programming languages out there. I believe that the magic functions are something amazing, like the underscore get or set or wake up. Those are amazing. Like if you start looking around, PHP, it's a very powerful language, and you don't have to know C to do something cool. Like, if you know C, you can create extensions and you have no limits there. But in the from the PHP user land, you can build so many cool things.
Right, and this speaks not only of the language, but also of the PHP developers, because many sites, forums, like for instance Quora, I mentioned it before, there is always people preaching that PHP is a bad language and PHP developers are not very qualified, and this demonstrates that it is totally the opposite. PHP developers, we are a lot, we are millions, and from those millions, there are less qualified developers, but there are also brilliant developers that go far beyond what you can expect from a language. And other than that, I didn't want to put this explicitly, but once in a while I see some people going on campaigns to criticize PHP classes because there is code that is not very well written and this and that. But that's not a rule. That's a fact that derives from the circumstance that PHP classes is a democratic site. So people are free to contribute classes that probably are not very sophisticated, are very simple, or are some of them are buggy, some of them are even have security bugs or other issues. But on the other side, there are classes that are extraordinary. The things like the Innovation Award that PHP classes organized since 2004 allow to highlight these classes. And now that I mentioned that article that about these 26 solutions that go far beyond the what PHP can, I hope I can come back and later I write other articles to talk about other solutions that go on the same lines that to exceed the capabilities of PHP.
Excellent. And if I may say something, I started, we know each other from emails and GoChat and chats for, six, 7 years. And when I started just sending simple classes to PHP classes sites. And I was just learning. And if you look the code that I write now and the code that I wrote 7 years ago, there is a huge difference. So, and part of and I didn't learn by magic. I didn't learn by going to college. I never finished my college. So I've learned by open source, and that's what open source is about. So you are free to contribute whatever you want as long as you find it useful. It can even get one download. It doesn't matter. It's about sharing your knowledge and actually take somebody else's knowledge and just do it and learn and improve yourself and share. The fact that you publish your code into GitHub or that you use Git or Subversion or Tolbros, that doesn't make you a better developer. What make you...
Yeah.
And even writing good program, like nice formatting, using all the latest features, that doesn't make you a good developer. What makes you a good developer is solving problems, and that's it. And many people, they've been just... I don't know too much about what you said earlier, but I've been reading like you need to follow certain rules and certain things.
Yeah.
You were born, or we both were born in free countries, and we can do pretty much whatever we want. And if somebody reads what you do, if somebody downloads your package, that means that was useful, regardless of what other people may say. And that's my point of contribution. I use GitHub, and that doesn't make me a super developer. I'm not even close to it. So, and I also use Gitorius, I use Subversion, I use PHP classes. Like, I put my code wherever I want, and that doesn't make me a better or a worse developer. And those preconcepts, those are really, really, really annoying to me.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know what is the point of even doing such a thing. Like, why they want attention? Like, they should get attention writing software and just sharing it wherever they want. That's my point. That's my humble opinion.
That's true.
I could be wrong.
Just to put this in context, the many developers that submit their classes to PHP classes, they import them from their repositories in GitHub because it's more practical, it's easier, it's faster to import and publish those packages. And what you're talking about was basically that because there are some people that go and bother to make criticisms to PHP classes as if PHP classes is responsible for the quality of the code that is submitted there. This is a free site. This is yet another means to distribute your code. There is no way that any site that does not do any like dictatorship, like moderation, that can guarantee quality. And even those that try to do that, they will leave out a lot of good contributions because it's a bit subjective. It's not easy to say this code is good, this code is bad, this code has bugs, this code doesn't. No, nobody's perfect and your code may not be good, but it can evolve. And the PHP classes allows you to evolve. And you don't have to host the development of your classes in PHP classes. You can have that code hosted in GitHub, for instance, or Google Code, or even Microsoft Complex. Why not? Well, you are free, and what matters is that you have freedom to express as a developer, publishing the code the way you want, and only having that freedom is that you can be subject, for instance, of reviews of others, so you can evolve. Some people do not like certain classes. Just go there and rate the classes, say, no, I didn't like this class. They are even allowed to justify their vote and say, this code is not good for this or that. Or maybe do the opposite and say, this code is good because of this and that. And so the world evolves, and what matters is that there is freedom for any developer to do that in PHP classes. There is no dictator ruling this world.
Yeah, and if it's worth to mention, I've seen good code in PHP classes, I've seen bad code in PHP classes. I saw good code in GitHub, I saw horrible code in GitHub, I saw good code into, I don't know, into Composer, into Pear, into Pickle, so
everywhere,
it just doesn't matter.
Everywhere, because a good or bad code is not an attribute of the repository where it is distributed. It's
exactly.
A characteristic.
Exactly.
Of the developer. If the developer is not good, he's probably is not going to write good code. But if it is good, it doesn't matter where it published this code. And this we are talking about is that there were, I hear some criticisms of people that totally do not get the importance of freedom of and the space that PHP classes offers to the developers to publish their code. And here, and to a wide audience, if you want to publish your code and have great exposure, the PHP classes site offers only the place to expose, but also the audience. When you publish code in PHP classes, that code is going to be visible right away to thousands of developers. You do not have to go on great lengths to do your own marketing, because even if you can try to do that, it is not an easy thing to do. And PHP classes exists exactly to give you that exposure. And I hope people get that the idea, that see the value there, and continue to contribute to great classes as the ones that we mentioned. And all those that think the PHP classes is not good, well, they are always free to distribute their classes anywhere they want, and the site will not be affected by any of the developer decisions. After all, the site gives you all the freedom to publish the way you want. If you want to import your packages from Git repositories, you can. If you want to let people know about what are the original URLs of the original repositories, you can. If you don't want to disclose that, you can. If you want to allow people to download their packages without requiring registration, you can. If you want to track the number of users that the packages have by requiring the user to be registered to download, you can. It's a place that provides authors freedom, and that is the main message that I wanted to pass with this comment. Well, with this comment, I think that is all for all this podcast. I'd like to thank you, Cesar, for coming and helping to give you your insights. I hope you and other developers, because everybody is invited to participate in this podcast. It is open. The site sends an invitation to those that want to participate. They just need to follow the PHP classes site on Google Plus to get notifications when there will be a recording of the podcast. If you want to come on the show, give your opinion, give your suggestions, your criticisms, that will be great. You will be welcome to come here. So on my behalf, that is all for now. Bye.
Bye-bye.